We're continuing in the Kingdom of God series that you've been working through. This morning we're going to pick up the whole theme of new life, very much kind of linked to, you know, the first meeting this morning of the baptism and that sort of thing, and thinking through what does it mean for us? What does it mean for you? What choice is there before us, and what impact will it have upon our lives? I want to bring two readings. Firstly, from 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, and then one from John 3. Firstly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 13 and following. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who can take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then John 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Sharing earlier, a few years ago, when I was at Bible college in the first term, I stayed up at college for the half-term break. And a friend of mine, a guy who was staying in the room next to me, a guy called Tim, we decided to go to London for the day. He was meeting some friends of his who were visiting that evening. And so we spent the day wandering around London. It was the first time I'd been into London since coming to Bible college that year. And so we went round and we went to Trafalgar Square and we walked round and saw Big Ben and that sort of thing. And then we ended up at Hamley's toy shop, which even as a probably 20, 19 year old, however I was old at that point, was just one of the most amazing places to go. I mean, just as an adult, it's brilliant, let alone as a child. I remember going there as a child. And it's just, you know, everything you could want. There's every kind of toy, contraption, and endless amounts of millions of pounds could be spent in there if you had the time and the money. As we walked around, though, we came across this one section that had a load of kind of dressing up clothes, I suppose you'd really describe them as. And he came across this wolf hat. And you basically kind of put on your head, and then your head, it was all furry and fluffy and that sort of thing, and it came with a nice kind of wolf tail. And I saw a crocodile one, which I thought was quite cool, and it had a big snout. And again, you got your tail and that sort of thing, very furry and this sort of thing. And I said to him, I said, look, these are brilliant, we've got to get these, you know. And he looked at it, and he looked at the cost, and he's like, no, that's just too expensive, Ed. And Tim kind of very much, kind of, you know, genuinely, he said, kind of we could give that money away to someone who needs it. You know, we've passed people on the streets here today who we could give it to, or we could send it to another country or that sort of thing. And so I turned to him and I said, Tim, I've got an idea. Why don't I buy yours for you and you buy mine for me? And we'll give them to each other as a gift. And that way, you're not kind of being selfish. You're actually being very generous. And likewise, I'm having that opportunity as well. And so we did. I still have a rather fetching crocodile hat with a matching tail. So I was preparing and reading through this passage and thinking about this whole topic and title of New Life in the Kingdom of God. I just had this image of a gift keeping coming back to mind, which is why I actually created this visual aid, because I wanted us just to think about this morning in terms of what it is that God has done for us in the new life that he offers to each one of us. Now, the gift that obviously I had in mind was, you know, slightly more fancy than this. It was a gift that was, well, beautifully and expertly wrapped. You know, it's purposely chosen. An item that you can't find on any, you know, high street store or online shop. You wouldn't even find it in Hamleys. You know, something so special, so unique, so kind of personally prepared. Truly exceptional and extraordinary in every way. That is something that actually is there for each one of us. It's not in this box, obviously, because this is a, as I pointed out the first, a visual aid. By its very nature, it's a box. And it's just been wrapped up to make us think about this. But actually, because in many ways, the gift that I'm talking about can't be put in a box, can't be wrapped up, can't be packaged and sold. Because it is that gift of new life that is on offer through Jesus for every single one of us. As Suzanne was baptized earlier, she was declaring the fact that she'd received that gift. And she was celebrating the fact that it wasn't just a gift that she'd got and put on the shelf, but actually it was a gift that she was wanting to live out her life, you know, in light of. And so as we think about this gift, this new life, that God has given us. I mean, I don't know whether you're starting to prepare your Christmas lists at the moment. Maybe you're the kind of person who just carries it on from year to year. You know, if you don't get certain things, it's like, well, that's the start of next year's, you know. So by the 26th, you've already got an idea of December. You've already got an idea of what's coming next year sort of thing. And you think about who you're going to give a gift to and that sort of thing. But it's also that thing of, obviously, we're hoping to get some. And it's recognizing, as Paul says in verse 18, the passage in 2 Corinthians, he says, you know, all of it is from God. All this is from God. This new life that is on offer is not just some kind of concoction that someone came up with in another country and has marketed and sounds really good and they'll charge you for it an excessive amount. It's not something that a group of people once way back when kind of said, hey, this might be an idea. All of it is from God. Paul talks about the new creation that we become when we accept this gift. And I think it's so important that we recognize that this gift comes from God. The Bible starts with those words, in the beginning, God. It doesn't just come from some random person. It doesn't just come from somewhere, another country, you know. It comes from the one who was in the beginning before everything else. That is who this gift comes from. This new life, this opportunity. And kind of we give gifts for lots of different reasons. You might give a gift because you're sorry for something, or you're thankful for something, or you're grateful, or because you love someone, or, you know, there's a load of different reasons we might choose to give someone a gift. And when we think about the gift that God has given us, again, Paul writes, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. This gift is ours because God wants to get to know us. this gift is on offer for people to receive because God wants to be our friend, to be in that relationship, for us to walk through life with him. If you go right back just after Genesis 1:1, the A plan, if you will, was God, Adam, Eve, hanging out in the Garden of Eden forever. To me, it sounds like a pretty good eternity. But as we read, it didn't work out like that. Because Adam and Eve decided, well, actually, we know better than you, God, and we're going to do our own thing. And so this A plan is pulled apart. It is not as it was meant to be. And yes, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. But ever since that moment, God has been trying and was trying to get his creation back. And that's what he does. And that's, you know, what it's all about. It's this sense of actually, yes, you live your own way. Yes, you do your own thing. Yes, as a world, there are truly horrible things happening when people choose to go a different path. But yet, I still want to know every single one of you. I still want to have that opportunity, God says, to be in that relationship with you. Recently, I heard someone was telling me how they'd been out for a meal, and they'd kind of been out this meal, and they were chatting part of the way through the evening with the people in the table or the booth next to them, sort of thing, and just conversation, that sort of thing, and then they carried on. And when it came to the end of the evening, they went to pay, and the people in the restaurant said, I'm afraid actually the people in the booth next to you, they paid for your meal. So you haven't got anything to pay. And so these people tell me, they're a bit like kind of, I've heard of this sort of thing. Kind of, you know, we all might think, oh yeah, it's really good to kind of do these sorts of acts of generosity. But to ever actually experience one, I think it almost threw them a bit. But in many ways, I think that captures something of what is going on here when we think about the gift that God gives us, this new life that is on offer, and how it is possible for us to receive it. Again, Paul writes, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. God sent his own son, Jesus, that's what Christmas is all about, to ultimately die on a cross, be raised again after 3 days. That's what Easter is about. So that we could get to know God again. That's the rescue plan that God instigated the moment Adam and Eve decided that their way was better than God's way. From that moment, longing to be back with his creation. Now, the challenge with this is obviously, what are we going to do? Are we going to receive this gift? Now, I'm sure if a box like this was under your Christmas tree on December 25th, I doubt you'd sit there and go, well, I'm not sure really. No, I don't need another big, beautifully wrapped, wonderful looking present, do I? Of course we'd take it. Of course we'd receive it. I'm sure some of us unwrap our presents on Christmas Day faster than we ever did as a child. This sense of what's inside, what could it be, what have I got? But yet there's still that choice before us as to whether we are going to receive it or not. If we look at the passage in John, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and kind of as often we see in the Gospels and the accounts with Jesus is, you know, Nicodemus is coming from one angle, and Jesus just kind of comes up from it completely differently. If you look, Nicodemus begins with this kind of comment. He says, you know, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. This sense of, oh, look, you're obviously truly amazing. You're quite special. And I really want to, you know. Whereas Jesus just cuts straight through, doesn't really kind of answer him, or just says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Direct to the point, this is how it is. And Nicodemus's response is one of kind of, what are you on about? How do you get someone back? And yeah, you don't even want to go there, really, do you? It just doesn't make any sense to him. He just can't understand what Jesus is talking about, this whole idea of being born again, going back into your mother's womb, as he says in verse 4. And it's because he's thinking a very literal response, and he doesn't seem to be able to maneuver from that position. But what Jesus is getting at is this need for this fresh start. That actually there's that choice to go, yes, I want to begin again. Again, coming back to the baptism this morning, it's, you know, that public act of that choice to begin again. It's that celebration of saying, yes, this is what I believe, and I want everyone to know about it. The fact that I want to live my life in a different way. And as the verses go on in John 3, verse 16, that one of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Or as Paul puts it in verse 17, the old is gone, the new is here. But it's still that choice to accept or not. On the way down this morning in the car, there was a song, and the words of it, there's a few lines that said, the adventure you were born for, walking with God and God walking with you. Walking with God and God walking with you. This sense of that's what we were born for. But yet we have that choice. Both whether we're going to accept the gift, and then to take that illustration a stage further, whether we're actually going to open it and use it and live in light of it. And in many ways, that's where it comes to think about the impact of our choice. As I said earlier, our options are yes or no. And if we go no, well, it's not a great choice, in my personal opinion. And I think sometimes we need to recognize that actually if we choose no, then there is implications for that. And maybe as you sit there and you think, kind of, oh, but I've chosen yes, but actually we need to maybe sometimes take stock of actually those people who, if they're saying no, if we know people, if we work amongst people, if we've got family, friends, whatever, if they've said no, we don't just go, oh, well, that's fine then. We need to keep pursuing. We need to keep seeking to play our part. There's a piece in the devotions that I have each day. And last month, there was one which I just think just raises this for us, entitled Heaven or Hell. It says, one day, a successful female executive was knocked down by a bus and killed. She found herself at the pearly gates of St. Peter. He said to her, before we let you go to heaven, we will let you experience 24 hours in both heaven and hell, and then you can choose. The woman said she knew already what she wanted, but he insisted. So she got into the lift and went down to hell. The door opened. She stepped down into a beautiful country club. Old friends, new ones rushed up and hugged her. She was the center of attention and absolutely loved by all. The food, the dancing, the jokes, the whole experience surpassed her wildest dreams. Soon enough, the day was over. She was blown away. Her 24 hours in heaven were delightful as well, but when she found herself back in front of St. Peter and needing to make a decision, she surprised herself by saying, you know, heaven was wonderful, truly it was, but I have to say, hell was simply out of this world. I never thought I'd hear myself saying this, but I think I'm going to choose hell. Are you sure? Asked St. Peter. Down she went in the lift for the second and last time. When she opened it, there was no more country club. Her former friends were there, but this time in rags, scavenging for food in the filth. She screamed and tried to get back on the lift, but it was shut. The devil came up to her and put his arm round her. I don't understand, she stammered. The devil looked at her and smiled. Yesterday we were recruiting you, today you're staff. He says, if you're looking for sound theology, the above story is somewhat lacking, but it makes a strong point. We're all responsible for our choices. Things are not as they seem. Choose well today. Now, obviously, the hope is that we will actually look at this gift, this new life, and we'll go, yes, I want it. And it's praying for those that we know and love, seeking to play our part in sharing it with them, believing that God will break into their lives too. If you think about the impact, even saying yes, it's not just about that word. Whereas sometimes I think there can be this sense, well, I just say yes, great, I'm in, I'm done. But it's actually going, well, no, I need to, you know, admit that I've done things wrong. I need to believe that Jesus came to rescue me. I need to count the cost, that there are things that will need to change in how I live my life. And I need to decide to say sorry to God, and that I want to live his way. Because again, it's not just about going, yes, brilliant, I'm done, I can move on. But actually, what impact is this going to have in my life? And one further thought here. Paul writes about this whole concept in verse 20. He talks about how we are ambassadors for Christ. Saying, okay, actually, here's the baton, is in your hand. How are you going to take it forward? What's the outworking of the kingdom of God in your story? Where you find yourself, where you're seeking to serve God. There's been a lot in the news recently about disgraced athletes and this whole situation in terms of, you know, Russia and different sports and people taking bribes and all this sort of stuff. And you're going to go, they're not great ambassadors, really, for their sport or their profession. And I think it's for us asking that question, how are we doing as an ambassador for God if we've said yes to him? Paul says, you know, it's as though God were making his appeal through us. And two quick thoughts on that. I think it's, do people see Jesus through me? As I go about my life, as I talk to people, the actions, the language, how I, you know, show care, compassion, just the way that I engage with other people. Do people see Jesus through me? Or is that actually the last thing they're going to see as I go about my day or about my week? And am I actually taking those opportunities that come before me? As I shared earlier, on Wednesday morning, about 10 to 1, I found myself getting into a taxi. Having been out for the evening with my dad in London to see a film, we missed our last train, having miscalculated things. And he went his way, I went my way. And I finally managed to get back to a station near Basildon, where I then had to get a taxi home. And I rung ahead to a friend of mine who's a taxi driver, and I said, would you be able to pick me up? And he's like, no, but I can get someone else from our company to do it. So this guy picked me up. He didn't say much at all. He kind of pulled over. He asked where I wanted to get cash out of a machine so I could pay him. And so I got out and I got some money and then got back in. We were driving on. And he said, how do you know Andy, the guy who also is the other taxi driver? And I said, oh, we go to the same church. And he's like, oh, okay. So you're both believers then? And I'm going, yeah. And this is now about 5 to 1 in the morning. I got up at 5 the day before to travel somewhere with work. So I'm kind of thinking, I really want this conversation, but actually there's part of me that I'd really rather just be in bed. And so we're driving along and we're chatting away and he's asking what I do. And I say, now we're moving and all this sort of thing. We pull up. I hand him my £10 note to pay for the fare. And as he's handing back my change, he goes, so what's God ever done for you then? And there's that moment where genuinely you kind of go, what? And in that kind of 2 or 3 minutes, I just shared something of something that I believe God's done for me. And I will probably never see him again. Ironically, that day, as I'd been in London, I'd done one of these surveys someone had asked me to do on the spot. And they'd asked, when did you last get a taxi? And I said, back in 2003, I think it was. But it's saying, actually, in that moment, all right, God, I'm going to try and do what I can. I'm going to try and say what I think you want me to say. And maybe we'll get it right. Maybe we'll get it wrong. Maybe we'll say something that will be really helpful and we'll see a massive transformation in that moment, or maybe not. But it's saying, how am I willing to be used by God? So what's our choice going to be? What has our choice been? And what impact will we let it have in how we live our lives? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that the new life that you offer is available for all of us. I want to thank you that that new life is something that is there before us and we just need to respond. And this morning, if we need to respond for the first time, then I pray that you will help us to step up and to take that gift that is there from you. If this morning, maybe as we're here, we think, well, I've made that choice and I'm living that life. I pray that you'll help us to hear from you as to what are the next steps we need to be making. so that we can be ambassadors for you in this community, on the streets that we live, with the people we work, that we will play our part, believing that those around us who do not know you need you and can discover you and receive that new life. In your name we pray. Amen.